There are some lost and found stories you can't forget. Like this one. It's about a suitcase that once belonged to a girl named Hannah. She was killed in the Holocaust. The discovery of her suitcase had a profound impact on many people nearly 60 years later.
There are three characters in the story. There is Hannah Brady, who was born on May 16, 1931, in Nové Město, Czechoslovakia, and died in a gas chamber at Auschwitz at the age of 13. There's Fumiko Ishioka, this wonderful Japanese woman who was so dedicated to sharing Hannah's story with Japanese kids that she spent almost a year searching the world for it. And it's the story of George, who is Hannah's brother.
That's Karen Levine, a producer for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. She made a radio documentary about Hannah Brady, and now she's written a children's book called Hannah's Suitcase. Levine told Anne Strainchamps about the remarkable series of events stemming from the discovery of this old suitcase.
Fumiko runs a very tiny Holocaust Education Resource Center for Children in Tokyo, and she obtained a loan of five objects from the museum at Auschwitz: a sock, a shoe, a sweater, a can of poison gas, and the suitcase. And the suitcase, a plain old brown suitcase, had a name on it.
Why do you think Fumiko and the children were so drawn to this simple suitcase?
It was the only object she received that had a name on it. So right there, there was clearly a story behind this particular suitcase. And Fumiko says, and I think she's right, that suitcases represent journeys. And in that sense, it's easy to imagine what might have happened to the suitcase and to its owner. So the kids just peppered her with questions about Hannah Brady. Who was she? What did she put in her suitcase? Where did she go? What happened to her? And Fumiko gives full credit to the kids, actually, for pushing her to go out and search for the story behind the suitcase.
So what did Fumiko do?
She wrote to the museum at Auschwitz, where the suitcase originally came from, and they said they knew nothing. She wrote to Holocaust museums all over the world, trying to find out any information about this girl, turning up absolutely nothing. And then, out of the blue, she received a letter from the curator at Auschwitz saying that they knew one thing, and that was that Hannah had been sent to Auschwitz from another camp called Theresienstadt. And so Fumiko tried a whole bunch of other avenues to try and find more information, and then finally, you know, she threw up her hands and said, I'm going to go to Theresienstadt myself, Theresien, and see what I can find out, which she did.
The amazing thing came when Fumiko discovered that Hannah had had a brother and that, in fact, he might still be alive.
Well, she went to the Terezin Ghetto Museum and ended up finding a woman willing to help her there. They found Hannah's name on a transport list, and Hannah's name had a check mark beside it, meaning that she was killed. In fact, everybody on that list had a check mark beside it except one name, and that was the name of George Brady, which was right beside Hannah's name. The woman who was helping Fumiko said it could be a brother, but she cautioned her because the list was made a very long time ago. Anything could have happened to him. He could have been dead. He could have moved to anywhere in the world. But Fumiko pushed and pushed. They managed to find George's name on another list. And in the most amazing coincidence of all, and there are many, many strange miracles and coincidences in this story, the other list from the boys' home had George's name beside another name, which this woman from the museum recognized. And she told Fumiko that that man was alive and well and living somewhere in Prague. And after much more dogged work, she got to meet that man, and it was that man who gave Fumiko George's address in Toronto.
So in the meantime, here's George Brady. He's constructed a life for himself in Toronto, and he has no idea that a group of Japanese children and Fumiko are searching for him.
No idea at all. And he had constructed a good life for himself in Toronto. He had come here in 1951, having lost all his immediate family in the Holocaust. And he decided he was going to live for the future. And he had four kids, and he built a prosperous business. The one thing he could never deal with was the death of his sister, Hannah. And he suffered horrible nightmares about it all his adult life. And then, out of the blue, comes this amazing piece of mail.
You actually brought in a piece of tape that I think continues this story. This is George talking about that very first letter that he got from Fumiko.
Suddenly, I got a letter from Japan, a big envelope. I was wondering who would write to me from Japan. And when I opened it, I couldn't believe it. I just was stunned. You know, I just couldn't believe it. It's to the credit and incredible perseverance of Fumiko that she decided to find who the owner was, but she did manage.
Right after I went home, I wrote to Mr. Brady, but still at that time, I wasn't sure if I could get any response from him. This might remind him of bitter memories, and he might not want to hear such a thing anymore, but a few weeks later, I got a nice letter from him and details about Hannah and also this beautiful photos of Hannah. And I just screamed at that time, and my hands were shaking. And as I read the letter, it was unbelievable. But what really excited me is that Hannah's brother survived. And he now has such a beautiful family. I was so happy about that.
That's George and Fumiko.
Hannah and George had been extremely close, weren't they, as children?
They were extremely close. They came from a very happy, quite cultured family, actually. Both the parents were very artistic and athletic people, and they were the only two Jewish kids in the town of Novo Mesto, which was never an issue for them until the Nazis invaded Czechoslovakia and things got bad.
What happened?
Restrictions were announced almost every week. Jews weren't allowed to go to parks. They weren't allowed to travel. And one very important moment for George was when he and Hannah were going to a movie theater to see Snow White, actually, and saw the sign, "No Jews Allowed." And soon they were barred from going to school, which meant that they lost all their friends, which George says was the most painful restriction. And then in March 1941, their mother was arrested by the Gestapo, and not long after that, their father was arrested by the Gestapo. They were taken in by a very brave Christian uncle, who is the person responsible also for saving the family photographs through the war. And the kids stayed with the aunt and uncle until they themselves were deported to Theresienstadt in 42.
Did they ever see their parents again?
No, they didn't. Mrs. Brady was able to get one letter out. She was sent to the Ravensbrück concentration camp, and she got one letter out to the kids. And in the envelope, she had placed four charms that she had made of chewed up bread and toothpaste, with initials of a family member carved into each one. And George still has those charms, which are amazing.
George lost his whole immediate family. His mother, his father, and Hannah. And yet it's the loss of Hannah in particular that haunted him for so long. Why is that, do you think?
Well, he was the big brother. He felt responsible for her. And even though on a rational level it makes no sense, he feels he failed her. And she was a little girl. As I mentioned, he suffered terrible nightmares all his adult life. And George is a very optimistic, happy, jovial person, remarkably so given what he experienced. But he suffered these terrible nightmares all his adult life. And one of the greatest thrills for me about having written the book is that since the publication of the book, his nightmares have stopped.
It's just such an extraordinary story that children in Japan could care so much and be so curious about one little girl when all they had was her name on a suitcase that they would hunt all around the world until they reconnected Hannah and her brother, in a sense, and made this little girl real and rescued this piece of history. It's just extraordinary.
It is. And the Holocaust is so enormous, not just for kids, for adults too. It's hard to comprehend. It's hard to find a way in. And I think one reason that dumpy old brown suitcase captured the imagination of those kids is because it was a way into understanding a story that is almost impossible to understand.
In Japan, the Holocaust is so far away. Some people don't see any connection whatsoever. But when they look at the suitcase, these children were really shocked that she was my age. And they then realized that there were 1.5 million children like Hannah.
Because of the suitcase, it is very strange to me that nearly 6 years ago this tragedy happened, and now suddenly it appears in part of the world where I would have, that would be the last place on the earth where I would have expected that it would appear. And it certainly changed a lot of my life and my family, because everybody is affected by it. And my we have a young daughter who is 17 years old, and she's called Lara Hannah, and she is actually going with me to Japan in March of this year, because we would like to meet some of these kids and help them to find a way of changing the world into a better world.
George Brady and Fumiko Ishioka, two of the people featured in the book Hannah's Suitcase. Anne Strainchamp spoke with the book's author, Karen Levine. There is a postscript to this story. A group of eighth graders in a Toronto suburb recently spent months immersed in Hannah's story. They ended up writing and performing this song.
I read a story about a young girl, a true